Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Victory Monday. The Packers escaping Jacksonville with a 30-27 win. Obviously, a lot of guys banged up. The butcher's bill was long after this one. However, throughout today, whether it's Rob Domofsky with news about Jaire Alexander, NFL Network with news about Jordan Love, or indeed, Cheesehead TV with some news about Evan Williams, all of it facing in a positive direction. Now, there's no telling what the rest of the week will portend as far as availabilities of all those guys for Sunday's game, a humongous matchup between the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers. However, the fact that all three of those gentlemen escaped serious injury is obviously great, great news. I know there were some question marks about Josh Jacobs coming out of that game. Reportedly, he's going to be okay. The one that I think I still haven't seen an update on is Eric Stokes, so we'll keep our eyes and ears peeled on that one. But overall, what looked like it could have been a decimating afternoon, even in victory, turns into a, okay, got out of there, got the win, definitely love being 6-2, heading into a final showdown, NFC North, probably the best team in the NFL before heading into your bye week. I'll take it, man. I will take it. Nobody should be apologizing for victory. Just ask Baltimore Ravens fans. That's right. For every one of you who might even fathom about talking, oh, it's, quote, just the Jaguars, talk to the Ravens about how they feel about just the Browns. This is the NFL. Matt LaFleur talked about it all week. The margin of error in this league is absolutely infinitesimal. And the Packers did what they needed to do to get out of there with a victory. Now, were there points of concern? Were there some issues? No question about it. There are each and every week. But on the whole, you love getting out of there with a victory, and you love sitting where you're sitting. Second place in the NFC North. Hopefully, you know, against some odds, you can shake things up on Sunday when Detroit comes to town. Hello, everybody in the comment section. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see each and every one of you. Of course, Brandy's here. How are you, Brandy? Joe is here. Ben, how are you? Chuck Olson, good to see you, man. Before I get to your comments and your questions, you guys know what time it is. Got to give a shout out. You know, it's not just a shout out. It's a hello. How are you? Great to have you by my side all weekend long while making my picks for the NFL games. Tons of fun, including tonight's game. That's right. The Steelers welcoming the Giants. Can't wait. Get yourself on board with Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com, use code CHTV, spend $5 on lineups, and get $50 instantly. You can join in the fun in the link in the description of this video. And I know, I hear you. Aaron, is it available in Wisconsin? Yes, it's available in Wisconsin, along with 42 other states and Washington, D.C. Tonight's picks, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I love watching Najee Harris run. Give me more of everything, but especially 67.5 rushing yards. Pat Freiermuth, I want to hear those Steelers fans going, Muth. But I think it's only for one big play. He gets less than 30.5 receiving yards. Wandale Robinson for the Giants, probably getting less than 40.5 receiving yards. I don't see Daniel Jones lighting up this defense. And Malik Nabers, he is going to be the apple of Daniel Jones's eye. I think he gets a couple of big plays, probably not in the end zone, but give me more than 68.5 receiving yards. That's me. That's tonight. Let me know. You guys have been sending me your picks. I absolutely love it, whether it's by Twitter, I got Facebook messages, I got an email. However you want to reach me, show me your picks. Love talking about them. Keep it up. Use code CHTV when you do it. What's going on, folks? We got a couple super chats here, starting with Alex. How are you, man? Super chat in honor of Willis and Jacobs for bringing home the win. I love Malik Willis, but I did not have him having more wins than Aaron Rodgers after week 8 on my 2024 NFL season bingo card. Go Pack, go. Yeah, I've seen that talking point a couple of times today. I actually just got asked about it on the radio. Now, we all know. We know. I'm not changing my tune. Wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. However, in this instance, in the service of Schadenfreude, I will allow it. Yes, it is fucking hilarious that Malik Willis has more wins than Aaron Rodgers. It is absolutely knee-slappingly hilarious. A dude who was not even in the building. Hey, maybe Aaron Rodgers was right. You don't need to be there in the offseason. Malik Willis sitting there after three wins looking at Aaron Rodgers like, what? Like it's hard? Absolutely love to see it. Schadenfreude at its finest. Peter Lohr, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Thoughts on tired QBs? Peter, I'm just glad that's not the quarterback of my favorite team. For anyone who isn't aware of what Peter's mentioning here or referencing, Anthony Richardson for the Colts had a play yesterday where he did admittedly make an amazing play and has this huge, like, incredibly athletic moment of basically shrugging off a defensive tackle who thought he had a sack, and then he runs, and it's a very big play. But then he takes himself out of the game because he was tired. I just needed a blow right there. Like, my guy, we need to give this guy some NFL media training. You say, I had an issue or I had an injury or I thought I was hurt. Maybe I wasn't, blah, blah, blah. You don't say you were tired. I mean, juxtapose that with Jordan Love fighting through his groin injury. Really, it's pretty obvious the man can barely walk. He's hobbling around out there trying to throw darts, trying to lead his team to victory. I'm glad that's the starting quarterback for my favorite team, not the guy who needs a nap. I mean, George Foster put it perfectly. The former Lions and Broncos lineman put it perfectly on Twitter this morning. There are six dudes who cannot come off the field unless they are injured. They are the offensive lineman and the quarterback. Unbelievably wild behavior from Richardson. Jake, thanks for the super chat, man. My wife bought the Cheesehead TV for me for my birthday. Bought the website? She bought the brand? I got a new boss? I kid. She bought something, Cheesehead TV, and I appreciate it, Jake. I appreciate the support. Tell her thank you and happy birthday. Appreciate you, man. Ed, thanks for the super chat. 2 weeks in a row of perfect fall weather in Chicagoland after a Packers victory. Coincidence? Obviously not. Oh, if you're in Chicagoland, this, man, you guys know, I lived in Chicago for a couple years out of high school, and let me tell you, on these weeks in particular, these were the weeks when the Packers have a win, the Bears have preferably an embarrassing loss, much like we saw transpire in Washington yesterday. Oh, you can't tell me nothing during that week as a Packers fan living in Chicago. So, Ed, I hope you're soaking it up. This is a great time to be alive, sir. Jim, thanks for the super chat, man. Appreciate you. I'm seeing a lot of nonsense headlines regarding the trade deadline. Makes me wonder, why is there a deadline, if you know? Essentially to try and maintain some kind of semblance of competitive balance, because, you know, if you could do it all throughout the year, you get down to December and the truly bad teams would go on wholesale fire sales, you know? You want to engender some kind of confidence in your franchises that, okay, yes, we had a tough year this year, but we've got lots to build around, etc. Like, the last thing you want is fire sales each and every year. And the, like we saw today with the Chiefs trading for a pass rusher, you know, you don't want that happening all year long. The haves will always be the haves, and the have-nots will perennially be churning through Hades, and their fan base will abandon them most likely. I love this. Joseph, what's going on, man? Packers legend Josiah DeGuara in motion yesterday. Man, we saw a couple of Packers legends out there between DeGuara, Darnell Savage. Big day. Big day for legendary Packers. Ryan Willie, thank you for the super chat, man. I think Love should sit this week. Come back after the bye. Well, Ryan, he's going to be listed apparently as day-to-day. And if he wants to go and can go, and the medical team clears him, he'll go. And he should. He's their starting quarterback. But do not get it twisted. I completely understand that sentiment. Watching him out there yesterday was difficult. It was very clear he could not truly move the way he would like to. And he certainly affected his throwing as far as when he does step into it, which is rare. But when he does, he can get some, you know, really nice power on the ball. But that was all but vanished yesterday. There, everything was back foot. Everything was sidearm. And you can't have that. You've got to be able to utilize your legs both to escape the pocket, but to also generate power with your throws. I understand the sentiment, but again, the medical staff clears him. He's good to go. They play him. He's their starting quarterback. Joe, thanks for the super chat, man. Matt LaFleur says, decision on whether to clear an injured player to play is made by medical staff. What about once the game starts? Wonder about Love decision. That's almost always a conversation between medical staff, coaching staff, and the player. The medical staff is obviously going to get to a point with a player, especially when they examine them in the blue medical tent, where, okay, you can play through this, but you have to do X, Y, Z to try and help yourself, things of that nature, which is very much, I mean, pretty obviously what happened with Love yesterday. But, you know, if you go into the medical tent and you have a broken bone or whatever, yeah, you're going to be ruled out. The medical staff's going to shut it down. But if it's soft tissue and it's something that, you know, player feels like he can play through it, staff says, okay, these are the circumstances and what you have to try to avoid, etc. But then there are instances like you look at Evan Williams with his hamstring. You know, he talks about, oh, I got a tweak and it feels like this. The medical staff, yep, that's your hamstring. You're done. They no doubt have conversations with the players in game, but they are the deciding factor. Last Son of Krypton, thanks for the super chat, man. Question of the day, can the D get Goff off his spot in the pocket with inside pressure? That may determine how this game on defense pans out. I mean, here's the thing. What's crazy to think is Joe Barry, in his swan song season, he did a really nice job against both the Chiefs and the Lions. And one of the components is exactly what you're talking about, and not just interior pressure, but getting home with four. They were able to do a lot last year in Detroit because their defensive line had a really nice game against a very good Detroit offensive line. I don't expect a repeat of that. We certainly have seen game in and game out. Look no further than yesterday in Jacksonville. This front four has not been able to generate much. And I do think there's something to playing a bit of a dial of coverage and trying to keep Goff guessing, but this team is way too good and way too polished on offense for that to be able to really kind of hold the tide, so to speak. You got to be able to get Goff off his spot. You got to be able to at least get him uncomfortable a little bit. Now, the issue is, of course, they have a really good offensive line again. So you're right. You're spot on as far as where this game could potentially be won. But do the Packers have the horses to run that course? I'm not convinced. Kyle, thanks for the super chat, man. Nags, I'm excited to see what Half has further learned about his players and will adjust going forward. I have a lot of faith in Bull at safety. Yeah, rough day at the office for the rookie yesterday. No question about it. And it wasn't just the fact that, yes, he did have to move back to a traditional safety role. But, you know, stuff like breaking down in space and trying to make a tackle, looking kind of silly at times doing it. But, you know, those guys, as I always say, they get paid too. And I think he came up against some really premier talent in the NFL. A bit of a welcome to the NFL moment for the rookie. And I do not doubt, to your point, yeah, can't wait to watch what he learns from those moments about coming to balance, about, you know, finding guys in the open field and just playing coverage stuff as well. But I don't doubt for a moment that's, you know, probably one of the lower moments of Bullard's rookie season. I fully expect him to bounce back. And also, to your other point, given a full week, depending on, you know, I do think Evan Williams is going to play on Sunday, but even if he doesn't, the fact that they have a whole week to plan for the contingency rather than, okay, now we're kind of switching everything from what we practiced all week with everybody in different positions because of the injuries, I think that will go a long way to helping things. But yeah, rough day at the office for Bullard, no question. Luke Carnes, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Do you find it exhausting how negative some fans are after a win? I don't get it. I love this team. Carry the G. Luke, yeah, I hear you, brother. And it is frustrating at times. It used to really wear me out. I used to get really frustrated with it and kind of exasperated. But now, man, people fan how they want to fan, you know? And I do think some of it is generational. I do think the younger crowd definitely skews in that direction sometimes. Although I know one of my oldest friends in the whole world is that kind of fan, so I'm used to it in some regards. But I do think entitled town comes into play here a little bit. The Packers have won a boatload of football games over the course of the last 30 years, you know, And so when they're not winning going away and they're not beating a team that everyone perceives as terrible and, oh, they should beat this team by 3 touchdowns, and then they don't and they barely squeak out a win, people are going to complain. They're used to, they've become desensitized to winning in and of itself. And they are clearly looking for things, ways of winning that they approve of and that they are used to. But they forget is that winning is fucking hard, and any win needs to be celebrated. And I don't say should be celebrated, needs to be celebrated. Because, man, you don't know what's going to happen next week, let alone next year or the next decade. Every win needs to be celebrated. And thank God, you know what? We here at Cheesehead TV are to help you, here to help you do that with some Carry the G Cream Ale. That's right. I got some. What's up? Get yourself an ice cold can, Carry the G Cream Ale. Do it, people. Adam, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. Still loving the selfless play by Brooks to let us run down the clock and ultimately win. To say I'm terrified of the Lions is an understatement, but I still believe. Go Pack, go. I like how you kind of bookended that super chat. That's pretty impressive, Adam. You know, you got the thankfulness and the praise of Brooks and the selfless play to go down before he gets in the end zone. And then you turn it around and be like, oh my God, we're going to get killed. I like it, Adam. I like where you're at. Andrew Ware, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. It's not gold package week. It's Andrew and his dad check something off the bucket list week. It's my dad's first ever game in Lambeau. We have been to camps and family night. It's my second time. Go Pack, go. That is fucking outstanding, Andrew. You and your old man have the absolute best time. Make sure you hit up lot one before the game. That's where the party's at. And the fact that it's a late afternoon kickoff, oh, so good, because you got a lot of extra time to tailgate. And then after the game, there's still plenty of day to go and enjoy yourself. You know, it's not like, you know, those nighttime games, like they're great. I love them. But then after the game's over, it's like, man, it's late. It's time to go to bed. Dude, that's a great story. I love that you guys are going. Please, please tell your dad hello from Cheesehead TV and that we really, really hope he enjoys his first time at Lambeau Field. What a special moment. YouTube user, what a handle. Thanks for the super sticker. Truly appreciate you. Uncultured Barbarian, how you doing, man? Bonus for Victory Monday, watching Eberflus not call timeout to set his D for that Hail Mary. Bears lost in true Bears fashion. Man, between the not protecting like anything underneath when they were at their, 20 or 30 yard line is hilarious to me. And then, you know, obviously the video of the defensive back basically chanting and jawing with fans in the stands literally after the snap of the ball, and then being the deciding tip of the ball that goes and ends up in the end zone for a touchdown. God bless the Bears. I mean, every time you're like, you know, could the Bears suck more? They're like, hey, hold up, hold my beer. I got something for you. Just love it. Mimsy, thanks for the super chat. That Packers by 4 line yesterday was a cautionary tale. Hope you didn't go too hard there, Mimsy. But yes, man, it's the NFL, baby. That is no joke. Those folks out there in the desert, they know what they're doing. They always win. That's the, what's that? When, oh, God, I'm a super tangent now. Sorry. When Will Ferrell was doing Coconut Banger's Ball as Goulet, you win. You always do. There. That took a long time to get there. I apologize. Hey, Aaron, any update on Jair and Evan Williams? Fly, yes. Thanks for checking out the stream on Twitter, where you could scroll down on my timeline and see I reported earlier today that Evan Williams avoided any long-term problems with that hamstring injury. He most likely will play on Sunday against the Lions. That's not 100% certain, but that's the way it's trending, according to a source that I spoke to. As far as Jair Alexander, Rob Domofsky reported that apparently the scans came back negative. There's a chance that he has avoided serious injury. No word yet, though, on whether he will be available for Sunday's game. We probably won't start to get kind of a feel for that until Wednesday's practice. I love the Bears always doing bear things. Yeah, they kind of are. He's going for the lights. He's going for the lights. They're going for the lights. They're going after the lights. Oh my God. Alex, yes. That player was not just disrespectful to the Commanders, but it was disrespectful to his teammates too. And I understand from the reporting that he addressed his teammates today, as I think he needed to. But yeah, that's just hilarious. Oh, here we go. Spencer, thanks for the super chat, man. I have to ask, Nagler, what is your gripe with people expressing concerns about the players and team? Why else be a fan if not to care about how things are going? Why come to Cheesehead TV if not to discuss? Aha, sir, Spencer, I'm glad you put it that way. Because to discuss is great, and I have no issues with it. However, when you start forming, I'll say online relationships, right? Or having conversations with people, and they continuously, no matter the outcome, no matter the how they arrive there, no matter how things play out, no matter what happens, they are always negative. That's not a discussion. That's just, you know, a viewpoint that you will never be swayed from and do not want a discussion or any kind of semblance of a back and forth. Like, I can't tell you how many times people have said, well, this is terrible and this is awful and we're going to lose every game or we're going to lose this game. And I'm like, oh, no, there's a chance. And the moment I say that, oh, you're just a homer. You're just an idiot. It's like, no, I have an open mind. I just want people to have open minds. Is that, why does that make me like this? What is your word? Gripe with people? I guess it is a gripe because it just drives me insane that people don't appreciate. You get 17 of these, 17 games in a season, and that's it. It's done until next year. Unless you're lucky enough to get to the playoffs and have one or two more, maybe if the thing goes crazy good, you get to the Super Bowl. But outside of that, that's 17 Sundays, you know? And to spend every waking moment constantly nailing the negatives, drudging up the problems. There's no problem with doing analysis, talking about, oh, this is where they need to improve. Ah, they could do that a bit better. I got no problem with that. But dude, from this end of things, and I understand it's a very unique scenario, situation that I sit in, right? As far as input, because I'm literally live right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different platforms. And I get lots of feedback from all of it, right? It's just when you get a cascade of negativity and oftentimes from the same sources, yeah, I got some gripes. I got some gripes with you people. What do you mean, you people? You know what I'm saying? Like, concerns about the players and the team, fine. Hey, look, what did we talk about all at the start of the season? Rashawn Gary needs to play better. I didn't have any problem with that conversation because Rashawn Gary needed to play better. And now Rashawn Gary has started to play a little better. Like, that's fine. I get that. But it's the, oh, Jordan Love sucks. Jordan Love is lucky that he's throwing these touchdown passes. And that's the other thing that's hilarious. Like, all the touchdowns, all the great throws, those are all luck. But the INTs are because he sucks. Like, dog, I just don't think you understand the mountain of negativity that transpires here online. And I understand. Don't respond to it. Well, when it's overwhelming all the time, each and every moment of the day, it's really hard. I'm not going to just highlight, you know, oh, here's someone who said, hey, great team win. That's a great team win. I agree. Now, that's a long-winded way of saying, man, I got no problem with how people fan. Why do they come to Cheesehead TV? I tend to think it's because they have a similar sensibility more often than not. And again, I do think some of it is generational. But yeah, man, no problems with people expressing concerns or pointing out issues. Not a problem at all. But it's constantly negative, with no window for a possibility of a sunlight ray to shine through. Yeah, no, you lose me. John, thanks for the super chat, man. I think Jordan would thrive if they ran a similar offense to when Willis is in, because his arm is way better and defenses wouldn't be able to focus on one aspect of run pass. It's been a popular subject, John, in the last 24 hours. One that I talked with Andy Herman about on Let's Talk Football, which dropped a little bit before I went live. I highly recommend everyone check that out. Yeah, it's frustrating to watch how efficient they become when Willis is in the game. And I do think it's not just because Willis is in the game. It is because of how they operate on offense and how Matt LaFleur goes about calling the games. I get that the playbook selection gets trimmed down. The focus is very different. Josh Jacobs becomes the focal point rather than Jordan Love / the quarterback. I think that would help Jordan Love. And not just because he's been playing hurt since week one, although that is in addition to, but I think it just helps your quarterback. And to your point, they just look 10 times. They are 10 times more efficient when they operate in that manner of we're going to button it up. We're going to run the ball, come hell or high water, and then we're going to take some shots. And now look, Willis has done amazing work knowing when to push the envelope just a little bit as far as trying to take some shots downfield or knowing when to, you know, eat the ball and use his legs. And I just think right now, probably Jordan's not able to use his legs the way Malik Willis does. So that aspect of the game would be very different with Jordan under center. But I do think, to your larger point, it would really help Jordan Love if they tried working on offense a lot more like they do when Willis is in there, rather than all this spread shotgun. I understand there's lots of receivers who need to get the ball, and you just paid Jordan Love a king's ransom, and you want to utilize him to the best of his abilities. But, man, I do think there's at least a happy medium that you can find where use that running game. Use Josh Jacobs and his ability to take over games like we've seen now a couple of times. Use that to help your quarterback. I know, again, it's hard to quantify or pinpoint exactly what that would look like, but I got to believe there's a world that can exist. Holmes, can you imagine Favre tapping out due to being tired? Well, what's crazy, I was thinking about this when I was on the radio just a bit ago. It's nuts to me that, like, we're sitting here now, Jordan's coming off this injury, right? And we're like, oh, he's day-to-day, and will he play or won't he? Man, those of you who lived through Brett, you know, there was never any question. Like the miracle game against the Bears with the ankle and 5 touchdowns, like that stuff gets blown up, but it's like there was never, ever a doubt that Brett was going to go. Like we never thought like, oh, he might not go. I think there was one time after a Vikings game, we were like, oh, I don't know. But I mean, the dude was there each and every week, and we've already got Jordan missing a couple games this year. So he's never going to have that streak probably, you know. Aaron obviously missed games, you know. It just puts into focus how absolutely freaking insane that streak was from Favre. Now, I know there's probably a few games in there that they probably would have been better off if he hadn't played, but man, just that is such an insane record that undoubtedly will never be broken. Portmaster, what's going on, man? Won't be easy if Cleveland can beat Baltimore, we can beat Detroit. I mean, yeah. No doubt about it. 1,000%. Man, any given Sunday. Hell, Cleveland beat Baltimore? Yes, 100%. Packers can beat Detroit. Now, the margin for error is slim, but it can be done. No question about it. Is Quadzilla still on the show? Not on the stream. He's not on Packers Daily, Antonio. He will be appearing tomorrow on Carry the G Radio. iHeart. 97.3 The Game. Check it out. What else we got? Make sure I don't want to miss any super chats. Ed, what's going on, man? Everyone is entitled to their own opinion. However, mine is the only correct one. Go Pack, go. Thanks, Ed. Love it. Spencer, how you doing, man? Fair enough. Thanks for the perspective. Go Pack, go. Thank you, Spencer. I appreciate it, man. I really do appreciate that question. I get it, man. I understand how I probably do come off as a grumpy old man a lot of the time. And I say it a lot. Like, I get I am not for everyone. Trust me, I understand that. It's just when you're on this end of it, it's a very different world. You know, people always say, why don't you do this with your Twitter account, or why don't you do that with your stream or whatever? And it's like, it's a very unique perspective. And that's why I will admit, like, I talk about this with Tom Grassi and Andy Herman and a few other people where, I don't know, it's a very unique kind of perspective of seeing fan opinion, right? In a way that, yeah, you see it on a chat if you're, say, on YouTube or whatever, but when you're seeing it from multiple different platforms all the time, you're getting input from just crazy perspectives. 365 is, you know, a year. It's it can get overwhelming after a while. No doubt about it. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channels, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.